Good morning. Welcome to the Message of Truth. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister here at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. I want to thank you for taking this opportunity to listen to our broadcast. We hope you'll tune in each Sunday morning at this time. We would also invite you to watch our TV program that airs following this broadcast at 8 to 8:30 on public access channel number 6 on your television, entitled Searching the Scriptures. Please give it a look. We think you'll find it very edifying. We'd also encourage you to check out our website, churchofchristatharrisburg.com. You'll find many valuable resources that will aid you in your study of God's Word. Previous radio broadcasts are out there, TV program are out there, so you can download them and look at them if you miss one or you want to go back and review. And there's just a host of other Bible-related material that will be helpful to you in your study of God's Word. Please give it a look. Let us know what you think. At the end of this broadcast, you'll be given our regular meeting times at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. We want to invite you to come and be with us to worship and study God's Word with us. We want you to know that we would always warmly receive you, and you would always be welcomed, and we hope you'll take opportunity if you have that desire to come and study God's Word with us and let us help you understand the need for Christ in your life. We have been looking at an overview of the Bible. We have completed the Old Testament, and we are rapidly getting to the close of the New Testament, and we are in the book of James. We're going to be looking at James for the next few weeks, and we're going to look at some of the lessons that we can learn from the book of James. The book of James is a very practical book. It's a very practical book because it gives us many good practical teachings about things that we need to incorporate into our lives as Christians in order to please our God. We begin by looking at the subject of trials. We begin in verse 2 of James 1. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. In this text, it tells us that trials, that we ought to be joyous. Now, how can we be joyous when we have trials? Well, because it's a testing. It's a testing of our faith. It's a testing of our love and trust in God. If you read Romans chapter 5, verse 3 through 5, you'll see that such trials can build character. They can build perseverance. And if we allow it, it can have its perfect work. If we allow the trials and difficulties of life to get us more closer to God, to get us to understand our need for God, and that he can strengthen us, he can help us, and he can give us what we need to overcome them, then those trials have great benefit. They prepare us for things further down life's road that we might be able to endure much better because we've had these earlier trials. It's difficult to understand when you're going through, but you need to trust God that he will see you through. We also talks about in verses 6 through 8 that we need to pray with faith. When we ask God for things, we must believe that he will answer and give us what we need. And if we don't believe the things that we're asking God for, if we don't believe that God can do the things that we ask of him, then we're double-minded and we're unstable in all our ways. And if a man doesn't ask in faith, then the Bible says he will receive nothing from the Lord. Prayer must be offered to God, must be offered through his Son, but also will be offered by a heart that believes and understands in the power and the providence of God. We also, he deals in the first chapter with the subject of temptation, beginning in verse 12 of chapter 1. Blessed is a man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one, when he say he is tempted, I am tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. And when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. Blessed is the man who endures temptation. That's a way of testing. That's a way of being approved to God. It's not sin to be tempted. It's a sin to yield to temptation. But we can only receive the crown of life if we endure temptation, if we endure it and not yield to it. And then he says in verse 13, when I am tempted, don't let any man claim or charge God with the temptation. God doesn't tempt man. He doesn't try to get man to sin. That's the devil's work. That's the devil's job. The devil is going to tempt us. God allows us to be tempted, but he also gives us the ability to be able to not yield, to overcome the temptation. Read 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. He'll always provide a means of escape. So man is not tempted by God. He's tempted by the devil, and then he's tempted by his own desire, by his own weaknesses. And then when that desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and then when sin's full grown, it leads to death. Read Romans 6:23. You see, that's the way sin is. Sin is a temptation when we yield. Sin occurs when we yield to temptation, when we give in. When we do that which we know is contrary to God's will, then we've yielded to sin. We're going to be tempted. Everybody was tempted. The Lord was tempted. But we don't have to yield. We don't have to give in. We can say no. And 1 Corinthians 10, as I mentioned earlier, tells us that God will provide a way of escape that we might be able to bear it. And then it adds that he won't tempt us beyond what we're able. And so men doesn't have to sin. You know, some people claim in religious circles that man is sinful by nature, that he can't help it. He's going to sin, and it's inevitable, and he can't help himself. That's Calvinism, and that's absolutely false. We sin because we choose to sin. We sin because we yield to temptation, because we give in. We fall into a snare. We fall into the trap, and we fall because we don't trust God, and we don't watch what we're doing. And so we need to have faith in God, and he will give us the ability to endure temptation. Verse 17, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of life, whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. Everything that we have is a gift of God. It's an expression of his love. And we are stewards of those gifts, and we ought to use them in such a way that brings glory and honor to God. Verse 19, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your soul. Notice, remember I said this is a practical book. We need to control our emotion. We need to be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. We need to consider what we say. We need to consider our reaction to any given situation. And we need to be slow to get angry. And why? Because verse 20 says, the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, wrath and anger will not lead to any good. It will only lead to sin and more sin. We must control our emotion. We must control how we react when we are put in a situation where people are seeking to get us angry. We must rise above it. Verse 21 says, one of the ways we do that is we lay aside all filthiness, overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save the soul. You put God's word in your heart. You put God's word in your mind, and you're going to be able to know how to say no to sin. You're going to be able to know how to endure temptation. You're going to know how to control your emotion. You're going to know how to keep things in check. Practice self-control, self-discipline. The word will teach us to do that. And then verse 22 through 27 is very important. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man observing his natural faith in a mirror. For he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he says. Now notice in verses 21 through 25, 22 through 25, we're to be doers of the word and not hearers only. You know, it's good to hear God's word. It's good to read the Bible. It's good to listen to other people talk about it and to study it. But It is absolutely of no value if you don't do and apply to the things that it says. And if we're just hearers and not doers, then we're deceiving ourselves. You can know a lot of the Bible, but if you don't know how to apply it, it's not going to have any profit in your life. And he gives an illustration of someone that goes into a mirror and looks in the mirror. You ladies, you know, when you get up in the morning or before you go out to meet the day, you look in the mirror and your hair's not exactly the way it should be, or your makeup's not in the right place. Do you just leave the mirror and go and leave it that way? No. Why did you look in the mirror? To make sure everything was okay. And if something was out of sorts, then you corrected it. This Bible is a mirror. It's a spiritual mirror. And when you look into it, you can see what God sees. You can see the reflection of what God sees when he sees your life. And when you look into God's mirror and you know that there are things that are out of step and things that are contrary to his will, then we have to change that. We have to repent of that. We have to correct that. But what benefit is it to look into the perfect law of liberty, know that we're not walking in the path that we should walk, we're not doing the things that we should do, and yet we don't correct it? That's being a forgetful hearer. We've got to make application to the truth that is contained in God's word. Verse 27, pure and undefiled religion to God and the Father is this: to visit the orphans and widows in their trouble, and to keep oneself unspotted from the world. And verse 26 says, if a man can't bridle his own tongue, he deceives his own heart, and his religion is useless. Ladies and gentlemen, a Christian must learn to bridle his tongue. He must be careful in how he uses his tongue. And we'll talk more about that in chapter number 3. We have to keep our emotions under control. We have to be restrained from doing that which is contrary to God's will. You see, in this first chapter, he gives us many practical lessons in applying the principles and the truths that are contained in God's word. And if we fail to put these things into practice in our lives, then we're just a hearer. You know, I know a lot of people that know a lot of the Bible. They can quote it. They can tell you what it says. But that's not what God's looking for. That's important. I don't want to minimize that. You need to know God's word. You need to study it. You need to meditate upon it. But that word is of no value if it is not put into practice, if it is not applied. That's why Jesus said in his word through the writer James, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. Ladies and gentlemen, dear listeners this morning, are you deceiving yourself? Are you hearing what God says, but are you not practicing it? Are you not doing it? Are you not following his instructions? If so, then you have deceived yourself, because that word is of no value to you until it is applied in your life, until you take that word, allow you to make good decisions, allow you to make decisions that are in agreement with God's will, to walk in a certain way, to conduct your life in a certain way, to have certain behavior in order that you might please God. And also that you might be an influence for good in the world, the salt and light that we're commanded by the Lord to be in Matthew 5, 13 through 16. Dear listener, let's close this morning by asking you a question. Are you a hearer or doer of the word, or both? We would encourage you, if you are just a hearer, to get busy to make application of the truth contained in God's word. Come and worship with us today, and we will help you, instruct you in how to do that very thing. Have a wonderful day.